Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
It is episode 117 of the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also in Five Points in Athens, but it is episode 1 for 2020. Dave, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chris.
And it is me, Chris, from the home team, and Dave from the morning show, and you mix that up, and that's where you get the Crossover Podcast, as we are, it's January 2nd. So we were up late watching the Sugar Bowl, which ended better for Georgia than last year's did.
Much better.
So we'll talk about that and take a look ahead to next season for Georgia already, because that's what we're always doing. looking forward to that. Maybe mix in some NFL playoffs. We recorded this a week ago on a Thursday, and so the very next day was when the Falcons announced that they would be punting on 2020 by retaining Dan Quinn.
Yeah.
So I guess we can throw a mention of that in there, too.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't talk about that last week.
Yeah, we didn't get around to when we recorded last week, we were probably speculating as to what the Falcons would do, and then Arthur Blank just woke up the next day and went, I'm keeping them all.
Didn't I ask you on the podcast what coach would be your number one choice, and you said Lincoln Riley?
Yeah.
Was that last week?
Probably.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, if he's realistic. I don't know that he'd be realistic.
Well, I don't know if you saw it, but the news broke yesterday that Brock Vandegrift has decommitted from Oklahoma. Is that some kind of a domino effect with Lincoln Riley? Or maybe it's something that doesn't have anything to do with that if people on the inside are finding out that maybe Dallas is going to hire Lincoln Riley if – that job comes open, which technically it's not, but it sounds like it's going to be.
Yeah, like they continue meeting. I keep reading like Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett keep meeting.
If they're meeting to set him up with some job in the organization, I heard Ed Werder on ESPN radio say he is not coming back as the head coach.
Yeah, the whole staff would all get fired.
Right,
but.
So I don't know if people know something that we don't know or whatever. But
yeah.
It sounds like there's things going on. But that was interesting, the timing yesterday for Brock Vandegrift's announcement.
I don't like that's the thing with the NFL. And I even said, so Mike McCarthy still gets interviews and stuff. And he'll probably end up getting a job. And let's be honest, that's probably who the Falcons would have ended up hiring. So would you rather just keep Dan Quinn because the players like him and you're not going through a transition if all you're going to do is hire Mike McCarthy anyway? I'd probably answer yes to that. But
if they continue the path they're going, they won the last three last year, they won the last four this year, so maybe they'll win the last five next year and they won't have a horrible first half of the season and they'll get back in the playoffs.
Yeah, so they started 1-4, 1-7.
Yeah.
And they keep finishing strong.
So they don't need to start 1-10.
No, but they're not carrying any of that momentum into the next year. And they're also just giving themselves a worse draft pick. And also, by beating the Bucs the other day, they ended up finishing in second place. So next year, they're going to have to play Seattle and Dallas. Instead of they would have been able to play like the Redskins or the Rams.
Yeah, I mean the Rams. Either way, I guess that kind of cancels out. But you basically get you miss getting to play the Redskins.
Yeah, because Dallas, as much of a train wreck as they are, they're way better than their record.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Like they have a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense, but they're just
so
the Cowboys.
Two teams that honestly. And you've brought this up before, with the way the NFL, sets things up, once you're eliminated from the playoffs, what are the nuggets that you're playing for? Draft position and an easier schedule. So literally, the Falcons and Bucks should have walked to the middle of the field at 1 o'clock on Sunday and just basically flipped a coin, and whoever lost the coin flip loses the game.
Yeah.
Just and not play, not risk anybody getting hurt. Because there's literally the Falcons lost by winning that game.
Yes.
And Jameis Winston, he Winstoned. He did his
there
thing.
There's been no more perfect an ending to a season than a guy throwing a pick six to get to 30.
To get to the 30-30 club.
Yeah, which has never been done.
And he does it on a pick six in overtime to lose the game.
Yeah, but like you scream, Deion Jones should have taken a knee.
I know.
Instead of scoring. Or like just
or run the other direction. Like, could he?
Oh, yeah, wrong way. Regal.
Yeah, could he have gone the wrong way? I guess either way it would have still.
I think that would have been the end of the game.
Yeah,
because the Falcons
would have been a safety, and the Bucs would have won.
Yeah, Falcons have gotten a possession still?
Oh yeah, that's right. How would that work?
Because you have to. Yeah, that's a great.
I don't know.
Yeah, where that have counted as hey, you, that's your possession.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
if he had done that.
Yeah, but it is like
just to thumb your nose at the NFL.
Because that's the way it's set up. That's what you should be doing. But I mean, I get it. Those guys are all competitive. No one's going out there and trying to lose. I understand that. But you know, if you're like a Falcons fan, I wouldn't be too fired up about the fact that the team closed with what, four straight wins. And
I know the team. I get it. The tanking part is what happens off the field, not on the field, but. Tampa missed, what, three field goals? Their kicker.
Yeah.
There was some shenanigans going on.
And the
three field goals and a pick six.
Yeah, and the Falcons kept settling for field goals.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Exactly.
But anyway, so yeah, Atlanta's bringing Dan Quinn back, which we didn't get to last week because we had already recorded the podcast before they decided to do it.
But we didn't mean to get started on the Falcons. We meant to get started on the Dogs.
Yeah, it was a good night. Tim Worley got to log off. Right after the game, you'd have to stay up and write any doomsday essays about the program. So it's just better
I forgot
to.
About that.
Yeah, remember that?
Oh,
that was where we were a year ago. So, I mean, it's always better to win games than lose them. But to me, it's win or lose the Sugar Bowl now because of the system we're in is just it's meaningless. And I'm glad Georgia showed up and looked like they were more into playing. And I guess Kirby learned some lessons from last year with, like, I'm only bringing guys that are going to play in the game. Everyone else is staying behind, so it looked like it paid off from that standpoint. But I don't know. I mean, to me, 2020 is all about what Jake Fromm decides to do, whether he leaves or whether he stays.
That is the number one question, number two question, and number three question. What happens with Jake Fromm if he stays? I think that's fantastic for Georgia. If he leaves, best of luck to him, but the Dogs have got to find a quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think it would probably be somebody from the grad transfer portal.
Yeah, the big name that's out there now is KJ Costello from Stanford.
And the Wake Forest quarterback is out there.
That's
now,
right.
Too.
Yeah, he went in there also. So you would think that would be the case because.
Yeah. Hello, Newman.
Well, and when you think now, like the first month of the season that Georgia's going to have next year, where you're going to open with Virginia, and while, you know, Georgia still is way more talented than Virginia, but, you know, when you watch Virginia play with Bronco Mendenhall, I don't think they're just going to be a pushover or anything. And if you have to play them with a. You know, some freshman quarterback or something, it's going to be scary. And then you got Alabama 12 days later and Auburn is early this season.
Yeah.
So, you know, if Fromm's not back, yeah, you'd probably rather have some guy with some experience quarterback in the first month of the season. Otherwise, it could be rough.
By the way, consulting the Phil Steele, it doesn't look like Wake Forest and Virginia have played since 2016. So I don't know if Newman would bring in any special insights into the Virginia game if he were the Georgia quarterback.
So that's good. Those two teams are in the same conference, and we'll have played Virginia more than they have.
Exactly. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Well, of course it was this year where North Carolina and Wake Forest had to play a non-conference game.
And I think they're doing that again next year
also,
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless I overlook Virginia.
I like that, though.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind if Georgia and A&M did that. Or
Ole Miss
or whatever.
Arkansas.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bring the Pitt boss back to Athens.
Yeah.
We'll go up there and play him in Little Rock.
He's coming in 21 anyway,
yes.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he is. But, yeah, I mean, why not? I wonder if the SEC – I wonder if that's been proposed to them and they've nixed it, you know, off the record, the scenes.
Yeah, that'd be one of those things that if teams decided like they were in favor of doing it, it'd be like, well, how about let's just play a 9-game conference schedule?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No one wants to do that. But yeah, Jake Fromm and the quarterback situation is certainly number one right now for the Dogs. And we saw last night, George Pickens. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. If he's
here's the thing, it's like he had 12 catches, 11 in the first half.
And then the one he had in the second half was that big one where he broke about five tackles and got a first down.
Exactly, exactly. Where he rolled over the defender to get to the first down,
Because they, you know, it was obvious that they were double teaming him after after about 10 or 11 catches, they finally figured out.
So
I know, that was crazy. Yeah. But yeah, listen, Pickens, a five-star talent, and we saw glimpses of it all season long, but we just know the number one priority with Pickens is he's got to be able to, like, control his emotions and his temper.
Sure. But I thought he, you know, last night in the postgame was the first time we've heard him talk all year. I thought he was, he did very well.
Yeah.
I think he didn't seem like a true freshman up there.
Yeah.
On the stage talking to Holly Rowe.
Well, I like the, the stories in the aftermath of the incident at Tech where he stood up in front of the team and owned it and, he ended up costing him the first half of the SEC championship game, but maybe that'll be, in the end, it'll be a good lesson learned for him because Georgia's going to need him on the field, obviously.
But it's funny when you see, like, on Twitter, Terrence Edwards and other guys like, this guy's a baller, they're like, those guys would know.
Yes.
We can watch and see and draw our own opinions, but when people that know a lot more about it than we do say the same thing, that kind of tells you something.
Well, remember from summer camp last year, the that catch he made, that open, I guess it was an open practice to donors or whatever, but
the McGill Society saw it.
But I don't think anyone was, I don't think anyone within the ranks at Georgia was mad that video started making the rounds,
No, I didn't hear anybody complaining about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, from that moment, we all knew that potential was there. And then when you watched him this season, to me, like, every time he caught a pass or a ball was thrown to him, it felt like he was engaging in some chirping, and it just was like he was always...
Well, that's what receivers and defensive backs do.
Yeah.
They're the loudest talkers.
Yeah. But he's always, like, walking that line of unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. So, hopefully that can get reined in a little bit, and Georgia's got a star on the in that receiving core, which is the big thing from this season. There, we didn't really have any.
How about the talent that Georgia's rolling out there? It hit me last night about the first or second quarter when it was like, my goodness, this is incredible, because Georgia was up 19-0 at halftime or whatever it was, and it was like, Georgia's down like 15 players. And they're making a very good Baylor team look very marginal.
Yeah, in that first half, they would have like 50 yards of offense.
It was a little more than that. I think they had, it was less than 100, but they had 7 possessions with 6 punts and a pick.
Yeah. And that was
and
Georgia.
They had 6 first downs.
Georgia was playing without two of the 3 guys that were All-Americans, because Hot Rod did play last night,
he did
but
play.
No Thomas and no Reed.
Yeah, and I mean, just the amount of talent that Georgia was just running out there last night was crazy. And I'll say this for the offensive line, too. Those 5 guys played every snap. Georgia did not have a substitute on the offensive line. So, and I know there were some moments. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but I thought they did a great job last night.
Yeah, there were a couple times Mays got beaten. He didn't have a strong game, but that was his... No, he's the left tackle next year, and that was his first chance to really be the left tackle. So he's definitely got some growing to do in the position. And I guess that late in the game when Georgia was trying to salt it away, Zamir picked up a first down, and Erickson got called for a hold.
Yeah, and Kirby's comments made it on the air. He was fussing at Erickson, and a F-bomb got dropped.
Oh, really? Yeah, I didn't catch that.
That was funny. but no, I mean, like I said, it wasn't perfect by any means, but – those 5 guys, and I think they should definitely get props, because you had Mays at left tackle, and let's see, at left guard you had Solomon Kinley. He may or may not be back next year.
Yeah.
You had Hill at center, you had Erickson at right guard, and you had right tackle, you had Jamari Salyer.
Yeah, because you were down, there were three of the starters.
Yeah.
So you had Kinley and Hill were the only 2 starters from the year.
And I thought, like I said, it wasn't a perfect game, but all things considered, including a new position coach, they did a great job last night.
In the end, it turned out to basically be the same game we had been watching all year. It was low scoring. The total was
right on it.
It had crept up like to by kickoff to about 43, but it was it was like 41 the whole time, and it ends up at 40 thanks to a scoreless fourth quarter. Of course,
that's how it always works. And then the number wasn't far off either. Well, no, actually, it actually closed at 3.5.
That thing crashed all the way to 3 at one point.
Yeah. So it went back up to 3.5.
But Georgia ended up covering all numbers. But I'll bet there were a lot of people out there were rooting for a backdoor Baylor touchdown, because that would have been a middle.
Exactly.
From the 7.5 to the 3.5. I think it did close at 3.5. But
well, any hope of that pretty much ended. Well, I mean, Georgia could have been a part of it, too, when Charlie Brewer got knocked out of the game by Trayvon Walker.
Yes. Although that did give them 15
yards.
Gave them
15 yards, but then the quarterback play dropped off after that.
Pretty substantially, yes. You could see why.
They had Bohannon in, and then they brought Zeno in, like, almost immediately.
Who, like, Zeno is the one that they did the same thing in the Big 12 title game, and Zeno was the one that eventually like led them into overtime. I don't know why they didn't put Zeno in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Immediately.
I don't know enough about them and their personnel to have a hot take on that.
No. All I know is that in that Big 12 title game, they're not the ones that took Brewer out of the game. It was the official that finally had to come over and say, like, you need to get out of the game.
So the concussion protocol hasn't quite found Waco, Texas?
Or how about Clemson? I mean, how about that T. Higgins sits out pretty much the entire first half with his helmet gone, which is the classic, you have a concussion, you're not playing.
Right.
Second half, though,
we'll let him play.
Yeah, we'll come back in now. That Clemson program is so dirty. That is pure good versus evil on January 13th with Ed Ogeron versus Dabo Sweeney.
Well, wasn't it? Yeah, it was last year or 2 years ago when they had several players suspended.
It was last year.
Yeah, was it the PEDs?
Yeah, like steroids that Dabo claimed as in hair care products.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, like Dexter Lawrence was one of them. He's bald.
But he didn't play in the game. I mean, he was out. He didn't play in the championship game, right? Or he wasn't in the playoff. I think he missed.
Did he miss both of them?
I think he did, but maybe at least the championship.
Yeah, I know he missed at least one of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So that was a position they could afford to lose a great player.
Yeah, and then they had a couple of maybe, I think, O-linemen, a couple of other guys that were on it. But that's just one, too, where, like, all right, it happened, and then no one thinks to ask any additional questions about that, though.
Yeah.
Because Dabo's like, he's the new Bobby Bowden.
He sure is. Yeah. The aw-shucks.
Aw-shucks. And so
everybody's against us. We're just little old us.
But he's good with the media, so they like him. So, like, even that T. Higgins thing, it was – like, wait a second. This guy's he's out of the game.
Yeah.
Goes into the locker room at halftime, and now he's back in the game. And, like, it didn't seem like even during the broadcast, like, Fowler and Herbstreit even thought that was questionable. Like, what a miraculous recovery.
Yeah. I mean, although there wasn't a whole, I don't know, when Ohio State kicked an extra point up 22-21.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a whole lot of questioning on that, and I was like, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Yeah, or even when then he decided to punt from the Clemson 39-yard line.
I know, that grinds your gears.
Yeah, they needed 4 yards, and they thought the better option would be to give it back to Trevor Lawrence, who scored a touchdown in four plays.
In four plays.
Yeah.
He did go 96 yards, or was it 94 yards?
It was a long way, but...
Yeah, I hear you.
But, like, your choices are this. You can attempt to pick up 4 yards or volunteer to give the ball back to the future number one pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
That's and you've got, by the way, a guy that'll be the second quarterback taken next year in Fields.
Yeah.
So you've got him and you need 4 yards, or you can give it back to Lawrence. I know which I would choose.
Yeah. The big question is, which draft will Jake Fromm be in? The 2020 draft or the 2021 draft?
All right, let's catch our breath for a moment, and then we'll come back and we'll evaluate that. Because some of it has to do with, I know where everyone's paying attention to mock drafts and all that stuff. But he's gotten his draft grade back. He knows.
He knows that it's either, you're told you're either a first round pick, a second round pick, or you should go back.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. That's just what they're told.
Yeah, right. And he knows.
Yeah.
He's gotten his feedback already. It's the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, our 117th episode, but our first in 2020. Happy New Year, and as always, subscribe to us on iTunes. You get us that way, or you can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com or download the 960 The Ref app. If you haven't done that yet, make that your New Year's resolution. You get all our on-demand content with just a tap of the app. You can also listen to 960 The Ref live wherever you are and stream all Georgia sporting events within a 75-mile radius of Athens. So that even means even if you're over in Capital City for the day.
That's right.
And, you know, the dogs are hooping it up or something, you can listen on the 960 The Ref app.
Yes, you can.
All right, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Athens and Watkinsville. Here on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
All right, episode 1 in 2020 and episode 117 overall, the Crossover Podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville, and also now the still mostly new version of it in Five Points in the old Waffle House location, because it opened up, right at the end of summer, just in time for football season.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, you know, and it's got the charm of being in that old Waffle House.
I love it.
Building in a
love it.
Good spot there in Five Points. So we've talked about the Sugar Bowl and better outcome for Georgia to be sure, but what does it mean for 2020? To me, nothing. Just like last year's loss meant nothing for this season, because Texas, as it turned out, was not back and Georgia was fine.
Yeah, it is funny how last year Texas wins the Sugar Bowl and it's doom and gloom for Georgia and it's nothing but, you know, wine and roses for Texas, and they go 7-5, and Georgia goes 11-1.
Yeah, Herman is one of those rah-rah coaches.
Yeah,
and
they did it again this bowl.
They
season.
Did it again in similar opponent.
Yep.
One that had basically lost everything in their conference championship game, and then just was completely flat.
The only difference was Texas wasn't coming off a championship game loss.
Yeah,
you know,
they were just.
But other than that, yeah, it was the same thing. Although the Pac-12, how does Utah lose the Pac-12 championship and then go to the Alamo Bowl? Did they not have a better situation than that?
They could have done better for them there.
Like the Holiday Bowl to me would have even been better.
I thought that used to be a big bowl, or even to me that Vegas Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, which is coming our way.
Yeah,
well,
SEC will be in it next year.
Way, yeah,
yeah, but that in that new Raiders Stadium, they don't have to play in where UNLV plays.
The next time Georgia misses a New Year's Six or a playoff, I'd just assume go to the Vegas Bowl.
I'm all for going there next year, but other than the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the Sugar Bowl, that 8:45 kickoff.
Next year, it'll be a destination since it's part of the playoff.
Next year, I wouldn't mind being in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, next year, I'm good with it. But the Rose and the Sugar they've clogged up the bowl season a little bit by them insisting that, you know, hey, we're the Rose, we're staying at 5. And we're the Sugar, we're staying at 8:45 on New Year's Day. And if the playoff's going to, you know, not change that, then we're going to have these kind of situations.
Yeah, like the Sugar would be better off doing kind of like the Orange Bowl does, where it's flexible maybe.
Yeah, I agree. But they're locked in on New Year's Day in their time slot, just like the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, because they follow, they piggyback with the Rose Bowl.
Exactly.
Like the Rose Bowl's got the best time slot. It's the only game, 5 o'clock, New Year's Day.
The only time it's not on New Year's Day is if New Year's Day's on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And then they'll play it on Monday the 2nd.
The 2nd, but it's got, it's still 5 o'clock. It's got the best, that good kickoff time.
But it fudges up the playoff when it doesn't, like this year was just, had a lot of weird stuff happen. So, like, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when they tried to make us watch the playoff on New Year's Eve, and that went horribly wrong. And I guess the playoff was going to be on New Year's Eve this year, so they moved it back to Saturday, but they couldn't move the championship date for whatever reason. So that's why we've got this long gap.
Yeah, because they did figure – I guess when New Year's Eve falls on a Saturday, the games will still be on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But basically, they've figured out, like, College football is a Saturday sport. We're going to play these games on Saturday.
Right.
But then the championship game is on a Monday.
Yes. And they're not. They're just afraid of the NFL. They just don't want to put it on a Saturday or Sunday to go up against the playoffs.
The playoffs would be going. Yeah.
So that's why it's on Monday.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, things that grind our gears. You know, football is a Saturday sport. College football.
Yeah, but makes sense because it would get eaten alive by the NFL playoffs.
Exactly. Even the Bills and Titans or what Texans. I'm sorry.
That's just the my favorite thing is the 4:35 Saturday game of the playoffs. It's the AFC South champion against the wild card team. That is a lock every year.
If you had just looked at the four matchups this weekend, you would have known which one's going at 4:35 on Saturday.
Yeah, Texans and Bills. That was a lock. Yeah. I do like that they're doing AFC one day, NFC the next.
Yeah.
But then I think for the divisional round, they're back to one each.
Crisscrossed or whatever.
Yeah. But I do like that they're doing the one conference one day and one the next. But, all right, Jake Fromm.
Yeah.
Will he stay or will he go? That's the big question for Georgia for 2020 now to me. And I think there's – my lean would be he's returning. But if you're setting, like, odds on it, I would probably say, like, 75 he comes back, 25 he goes.
As a fan of Georgia, I hope he does come back. But I don't really have a feel on this one.
Well, he's behind, obviously, Burrow. Yeah. He's I think Tua is going back to Bama. He's announced that he's announcing on Monday.
Yeah.
They're already getting Dylan Moses back.
Right.
I think Tua is coming back to Alabama.
They've got unfinished business. I'm sure that's what they're being told.
Yeah, and I also think Tua's...
Do you think he could get Saban to promise him that he won't put him in a horrible situation again like he did this year?
I would think
So, said the other day, that horrible decision to have him out on the field and get hurt is actually going to bring him back for another year.
Yeah, one of the worst moves of Saban's career is going to turn out to be one of the best.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's crazy.
I don't know. What do you think? I think he's coming back.
Hope he does. Like I said,
I'm talking about Tua now.
Oh, Tua. Oh, you're back to Tua. I'm sorry, we're still on Tua. Yeah, I think he's coming back.
Because he made that announcement. Like, to announce that when he's announcing, to me, is just sort of like, I'm going to announce that I'm coming back.
I would think where he is in his recovery from his surgery, maybe they feel like he would be a little scared to put his name out there in the draft, that it would cost him in this draft. But if he comes back and has a solid year, and by the way, he was the second best quarterback in the SEC this year by far.
Oh yeah.
Even getting hurt. I would think that next year would give him a chance to prove maybe a little bit more coming off the injury that he would be ready to go.
Yeah.
So that would be my lean on that.
But even like next year, he'll be behind Lawrence, and I think he'll probably be behind Fields.
Yeah.
Just because of his injury history. So I don't know. I mean, there's enough dumb teams in the NFL. I wouldn't draft him high. And when the guy can't even throw until spring, you have no idea what.
Yeah.
Originally, they said it was like the same injury Bo Jackson had. But there are enough dumb teams in the NFL that someone would take him. So maybe he does go. But I got a feeling he's coming back.
Yeah. We'll be seeing him in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. But that would be like typical. Tua comes back and Jake leaves.
I know. And then somehow the transfer portal doesn't work out for a grad transfer. And, you know, that's the thing. There would be talented quarterbacks here, but, you know, just wouldn't have any experience. It'd be green.
Yeah.
Seems a little scary.
It's a huge thing hanging over Georgia right now. And I know Fromm had a lot of critics this season, but if he ain't back next year, you'll miss him.
Definitely.
Definitely. You'll miss him when he's gone.
All right. So let's see. What else did we – the SEC had a good run. Now, Tennessee still play. They play tonight.
Yeah.
So we don't have that result yet.
Tennessee is going to be this year's Texas. They're going to be the team that's getting a lot of, like
– So you like them taking Indiana out tonight?
Probably, and then they'll
the
end
Lions
up.
It's only like three.
Yeah, then they'll end up getting. They'll be the team that's overly hyped during this season. They beat a bunch of corpses down the stretch, and they'll end up tanking. They go to Oklahoma week two next year. Like, they're not winning there.
Yeah, they also come to Athens next year.
Yeah, they're not winning here, right? Well, we'll have to see if Fromm's back or
we'll
not.
We'll see what the situation is here. But the SEC's having a good bowl season, and I know, also coming up tonight. The Dogs are expected to land some more five stars. The rumor is they already have, and they're just going to announce it tonight. But it could be one of these with Ringo and Washington and Evans. Three five stars could be in the fold this time.
There's a lot of with that Zach Evans out of Texas, where he didn't even play in their. They were in the state championship game. And. There's just a lot of stuff you hear about him where yelling at coaches and things, but
I know.
So he's a five-star running back though.
Exactly.
You're not gonna turn him down, I guess. Although, does that mean we're just gonna continue to establish the run? Like, at this point, I'm no longer that fired up about a slew of five-star running backs. I want elite quarterbacks and receivers.
Well, you saw what happens when you've got some personnel that can do some of the stuff you want to do on offense. We saw that with Pickens, very much so in the first half last night.
Yeah.
And, Zamir White looked pretty good. Hate that James Cook got hurt because I thought he would have gotten a lot more touches than he did.
Yeah, McIntosh had some nice runs, though, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So
supposedly there's help on the way. That's what the recruiting experts tell us, so... I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, Ringo and Washington were always kind of expected, but I guess Evans is one that's been hanging out there as more of an unknown.
Exactly.
And then there's Braun, right? Josh Braun, the defensive tackle that committed to – not Braun. He was the one that –
Jordan Birch.
Yeah. Braun was the offensive lineman committed here, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Jordan Birch, who committed to South Carolina and then never signed.
Who knows?
That's because those recruiting sites all had – there was no real strong consensus, but I think Rivals had us as maybe the favorite, and then 24/7 had LSU as the favorite, but it was just none of them had South Carolina, really. So,
and the funny thing is he could still end up signing with them. They may end up getting him after all.
Yeah. But or he couldn't end up not signing because he just doesn't have to.
And honestly, he shouldn't sign.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to.
But the fact that he hasn't means that all these other coaches are still
going
to be applying
after him.
Full court press.
Yeah.
And should be.
Hey, speaking of signees, I did want to mention that Georgia's big basketball signee, Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, he'll be on the court Saturday against Memphis's big signee. Oh, wait a minute. Memphis's big signee will not be there.
Yeah. Their big signee is their coach, Penny Hardaway.
It's Penny Hardaway. And he was pretty good. But, so that classic matchup of what could have been two of the top three guys in the draft, or who knows, one and two, ain't happening.
Yeah.
Memphis is still good, though.
Yeah, but somebody's going to be channel surfing on Saturday, and they're going to land on CBS and wonder why that game is on CBS.
And it's funny because that's part of the contract that CBS has with the SEC is televising, a certain number of basketball games
right.
as well. Generally, they involve the
Kentucky
Wildcats.
Or Florida.
So, yeah, when you're banking on, a couple of stud potential draft picks and then one of them ain't there, then that's what you get.
Because I was watching when that Peach Bowl turned into a rout, I ended up watching the Louisville-Kentucky basketball game.
Oh, yeah, that was a good game.
And that was Brad Nessler and Bill Raftery.
Okay.
Are they going to be calling Georgia and Memphis?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. It'd be cool if Bill Raftery was on a Georgia
That'd be
call,
awesome.
Though. Maybe they will, because still you do have the Ant-Man. So.
What else is on Saturday? They don't have a football game to call, so it wouldn't be that.
Yeah.
There is a game, though, but I don't remember which one.
But it's I guess that's the game that'll lead into the NFL game, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, it doesn't involve CBS. But, who knows? Maybe they are going to call that game.
Yeah, Bill Raftery on a Georgia call. That would be nice.
That'd All right. Fantastic.
We appreciate you checking us out. As always, the Crossover Podcast. You can find us on iTunes, subscribe there, listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com, or better yet, download the new 960 The Ref app. For Dave, I'm Chris, and we'll be back next week with another exciting edition, the Crossover Podcast. Happy New Year, everyone. You're on 960theref.com and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.